Good morning and welcome. Let's begin our worship by rising and making confession before God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. The peace of the risen Christ be with you this day and forevermore.
Sword and shield, though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear?
Always by my side, the one.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of glory and love, peace comes from you alone. Send us as peacemakers and witnesses to your kingdom, and fill our hearts with joy in your promises of salvation. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The first lesson is from Zechariah, the 9th chapter. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout loud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall command peace to the nation. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from the 7th chapter of Romans. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but the sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel comes to us from the 11th chapter of Matthew. Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He was a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all that you are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and Jesus the Christ. Imagine you're sitting out in the park this afternoon, enjoying what's left of this holiday weekend, finding a shady spot under a tree with a light breeze so it's not so stifling as it was yesterday afternoon. But it was nice. It's nice sitting there in the shade with this breeze. A pleasant relief in this time of turmoil that's going on in our world. It's that kind of day that beckons people to come outside for fun, food, and games, staying socially distanced, but getting out of the house. So you're sitting at a small table with your spouse. Weariness is in your voice. While watching people walk by, you pose a question. You know the answer, but you still ask, "Do you see anyone you'd like to be?" The question was asked in a very melancholy way, with a stretch of silence at the end. And before your spouse could answer, nodding into the crowd, you answer. And you say, "See, that's who I'd like to be." "Who?" she asks, as a man with two children neared their table. You turn to see the man. His deliberate strides toward through the congestion of the crowd this day evoke strength and control. And hoisted up on his shoulders was his young son, high above the field of heads and caps. And running behind him was another son, who lurched and ran with his long steps from wobbly legs, struggling to keep up with Dad as he's walking. You're asked, "Why that man?" And your answer is, no, not him. "I just can't carry anything anymore. There's been way too much in my life. I'm tired of having to be strong every day." Clearly, she was puzzled and then asked, "Then how about the boy that's running behind them?" "No, not him. I feel like I've been running so hard, so fast, so long, I just can't keep up anymore." She didn't say anything else. And then he pointed to the child being carried on the man's shoulders, with his little legs dangling free, his weight, his arms yoked easily around Dad's neck. "Him. I want to be like him." And both of you watched, saying nothing to each other, as the three disappeared, walking over the hill in the distance. Now, our gospel message today seems to reach out to us with the words of Jesus. "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." For us, the first thing we have to figure out is what do you think God should be? And that's usually something that affirms what we already think God should be, or believe what we think he already is. The second thing we do too much is to judge all others, and that includes their beliefs about God. People's judgment of others today is not much different than what was going on when this scene from Matthew. John the Baptist comes along, and he doesn't measure up to their expectations. He doesn't conform to what the folks think he should be like. He's too reclusive. He's too ascetic, a loner, too somber, serious. He should eat and drink more. Especially he should watch what he's eating and get away from this locust and wild honey stuff. Then, as if in answer to their concern, Jesus comes into their lives. Well, guess what? That doesn't work out for them either. Well, he's too much the opposite. He drinks and he eats too much, and he's with the wrong kind of people to boot. You shouldn't be eating them. He associates with them. So this whole story is sort of like Goldilocks. We're never quite satisfied. John and the God he represents is just too severe, while Jesus and the God he represents is just too accepting. We'd like our religious leader to be just right, which most often translates for people into being pretty much just like me, as we all say that. There's a problem with this approach. If God were just like us, who would save us? Which is perhaps what's so appealing about our personal pictures of God. The images we have don't threaten us. They don't expect change from us. They don't ask us to do all that much, and don't do much more than affirm us. And affirmation is great, even necessary at times, but it doesn't save you. So God comes along, first in John, and then more fully in Jesus. In part, Jesus came to disrupt our pictures of God, to shake our hands loose from holding on to those pictures, which too often harden into idols. It's not possible to live without some picture of God. And inevitably, simply because we're mortal, human, and fallible, we'll likely picture God in ways that are helpful and yet unhelpful. Clear to us, but maybe distorted to others. So, God comes and shows up where we least expect us, in order to shake us up, in order to call what we thought we knew for sure into question. God comes in order to surprise us by being so different from what we expected, and yet exactly what we need. Jesus, give thanks that God has revealed all this to us and God's own self to boot, not to the wise, but to infants. And that alone surprises us and makes us think twice, challenging our preconceptions and generally refuses to give in to our Goldilocks images. Jesus does another thing in his passage as well. He doesn't simply call our pictures and expectations into question. He gives us a picture, another picture of God, that of one who bears our burdens. God is the one who shows up in our need. God is the one who comes along beside us. And nothing demonstrates this more than the cross. God's willingness to embrace all of our life, even to the point of death, to demonstrate God's profound love and commitment, a love and commitment that will not be deterred by anything. Now, all of this is not necessarily what we want. We most of the time would prefer a God that takes away our problems rather than helps us cope with them, a God who eliminates challenges rather than equips us to deal with them. We keep asking God, who vanquishes our opponents, all the while he's enabling us to make peace with them. Not what we ask for, not what we want, but what we need. And all of this should shape not only our picture of the God we know in Jesus, but what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Jesus isn't saying, take care of yourself. If you don't, who will? But rather, as you embark on the discipleship way, I am with you. Self-care matters, of course. But it's so very easy to confuse the good news with good advice. And while good advice can be helpful, doesn't save you. What we need is not so much a new command, rest more and take care of yourself, but rather a reminder that God always shows up when we least expect him to be, in the need of our neighbor, in the person that doesn't look anything like you, in the person who believes and thinks and acts differently than we do, and just as importantly, differently than what we think they should. And that, in all of these circumstances, our call is the same, to care for them, to meet them where they are, to accept them as we are able. But I can tell you, this is not easy work. But as we undertake this kind of discipleship, which pretty much has been the subject of our last few weeks of our readings from Matthew, we discover God in Jesus is here waiting for us, encouraging us, forgiving us, bearing us. And that's what makes the burden light. The yoke, not easy, but maybe even joyful. We live at a time and a place where we're increasingly taught to believe that true joy, deep satisfaction, and the realization that what we were created for comes through self-discovery and self-expression. Be authentic to one's true self. Too much emphasis on self. I'm not sure we can achieve this joy apart from being in a relationship with and bearing the burdens of those around us. And so God shows up where we least expect him to be, to call us to that same place and discover ourselves as we turn away from ourselves to meet the other, to find our lives by giving them away. God keeps coming in the unexpected, even unlikely places. And that includes in the words I say each week, in the ordinary bread and wine of the supper of our Lord. Blessings on that proclamation in word and sacrament. The world needs your witness, and I'm grateful that you've chosen to offer it to others. God is with you as you do, bearing you up, sustaining you along the way. God is with you. May your burden be light. Amen. Please rise and we'll make confession before our God with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we've been doing these past several weeks, the offering trays are at the two doors, so we don't have to pass them, which gets them all contaminated. Thank you for bringing your offerings, even though we aren't collecting them in the usual manner. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Called to be in unity with one another, let us pray. Today we pray for St. John's. Sustain us as we share your word. Embrace us as we struggle to find our common ground. Free us from any stagnant faith and inspire us in new ministries. Hear us, O God. We pray for our nation. As we celebrate our birthday, let us truly care for the huddled masses yearning to be free. Guide leaders to develop just policies and give them wisdom to have difficult conversations and make difficult decisions. Lead us to expansive love for our neighbor. Hear us, O God. We pray for all in need, for all who are tired, feeling sick, despaired, oppressed. Take their yoke upon you and ease their burdens. Give your consolation and free us from all that keeps us bound. We pray today for healing for Virgil Orling. May his surgery go well this morning and be with the family as they are with him during this recovery. Hear us, O God. We give thanks for the witness of those who have died in faith. As you have welcomed them into your eternal rest, comfort us in our grief and give us hope in our resurrection. Hear us, O God. Receive these prayers we speak out loud, O God, and those we cannot put into words, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death, and on this day, just as he promised, poured out your spirit of life and power among the chosen disciples. At this, the whole world exalts in boundless joy. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you've prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, broke it, and gave it to the disciples to eat, saying, "This is my body that is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood that was shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." As we've been gathered together by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, the banquet is ready. Table.
His yoke is easy, His burden light. He is able, He will restore at the table of the Lord. There is peace at the table of the Lord. There is peace at the table of the Lord.
Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice, may we thirst for your way of peace, for you are Lord forevermore. Amen. Now may you cast your fears and burdens on God the Father who created you, Jesus the Christ who has redeemed you, and the Holy Spirit that walks with you each day. Amen. As you leave this place, go with the power of Jesus Christ, casting out all fear. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.